Welcome, everybody, to issue 78 of Heroes Asylum. I'm sorry, I had to think about our number for a second. I didn't check it before we started.
Oops.
So, my name is Mike, Captain Mike. How are you guys doing today? I am here with Kane. Say hi.
Hey. Hi. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Kane's here. Yay.
Hey, everybody rejoice.
So, guys, this is our weekly recap of everything that happened the week before. We did have a midweek recap sort of San Diego Comic-Con. We had that just the other day. So if anybody's interested, you can go back into our archive on Facebook Live and actually check that out and see Friday night. We did have a very late Friday night. We did have a recap of San Diego Comic-Con. And there's a few things that happened. I think you pretty much caught all up on most of those. I didn't really see much else happen on San Diego, so I'll let you cover that. But unfortunately, we do have a few deaths in the geek community, or in just the, you know, the entertainment community in general. First one we have here, guys, is Regis Philbin. He had passed away at 88. I mean, I'm not sure. You've probably been under a rock if you don't know who Regis is, but I mean, he wants to be a millionaire. He started off with Regis and Kathy Lee, that, you know, that I know of in my time. I'm, you know, he had a bit of a career before that, but yeah, he passed away Friday night, just natural causes, 88. He was known for serving as Joey Bishop's late night sidekick. So that was his early career. And, but yeah. And then of course, just his run as he just always would pop into movies, TV shows as himself. I think one I remember is, How You Met Your Mother. He was there with I can't remember the actor's name.
It was Barney.
Barney. No. It was the judge. Sorry. Shoot. I'm trying to remember. Lawyer.
The big guy.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But the one episode where he was trying to find the perfect burger in New York.
That's the episode I remember him from, the Perfect Burger.
Yeah, I think the only reason you remember think of Barney, because Barney's the one that had his phone number, but then it was him and Marshall. Marshall and him
were trying to find, they scoured the city searching for this perfect burger.
Yeah, so, but I mean, a great guy. He's one of those ones I had never heard bad press about, or fans meeting him, or him being an ass or anything like that. He was just, you know, straight up a regular guy, and he will definitely be missed. He was one of those ones that if he ever did pop on a show or anything like that, I'd be happy to see. It's like, oh, Regis, awesome. You know, he's always fun. He's always doing something good, cool. I even remember though, I think a couple of times, I think he was on Stern for once or twice. You know, he was just your regular Joe. So he will definitely be missed.
He definitely will be.
There was one more that I had. I think you had one, but the one I had found and you had actually sent me was for John Saxon, the actor known for Enter the Dragon, Nightmare on Elm Street as the sheriff, died 83. So they he is another one in the '80s, Brooklyn tough guy. He's also starred in Appaloosa, The Unguarded Moment, and Black Christmas.
Black Christmas. Wow, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it says that Saxon died of pneumonia. He was living in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, with his wife Gloria at the time. So he's another one that if you ever saw, I was always like, oh, cool, okay, I know the guy. I like his work. Looks like he did Dynasty also there for a while. Falcon Crest for you.
Falcon Crest.
I may remember that.
Shoot.
I vaguely
that was like
remember
the poor man's version of Dynasty. I think.
I think it was a sequel to Dynasty. If I remember correctly.
Was it?
I don't know. I was too young, dude. Sorry.
Okay.
That one.
Well,
that,
I was young too.
I can finally say I was too young for this. But yeah,
Falcon Crest. Wow, that's a deep cut.
So that's pretty much what he's been doing, his career, so he'll definitely be missed as well.
He was one of the few people in Enter the Dragon that was actually American. Him and I think it was just him.
No, or I think somebody, you know, else. You had
Kareem.
I kept thinking his last name kept popping in my head, but I was like, what's his fucking first name? But yeah,
Kareem.
And I think, wasn't Norris in Enter the Dragon, or was he in another one?
Maybe he wasn't in Enter the Dragon.
But yeah, that's
no. Maybe he. I think he was in another one.
Because a lot of the American actors that you would see in Bruce Lee's films were his students, because he had a school in California. So you would see a lot of his students would show up in his movies. So, but yeah, that is another one we will definitely be missing. Yeah. And I know everybody talks about, you know, like the celebrities of the 27 Club. You know, I actually did research on this because I was so interested. I was like, what is the 27 Club a real thing or not? And it's really not. More celebrities die at 56. More celebrities die at 28 than 27. So it's just a myth because of the characters, or not the characters, but the quality of the performers that did die in the age of 27, that they were just getting started on really great looking careers.
Yeah, Joplin, Hendrix.
The Doors. Amy Winehouse, Cobain.
Cobain, he died at 27 too.
But there's always been this myth of the 27 Club. And there's really – the 27 Club actually has less people dying than the 28 Club. And there's no 28 Club because 27 – it just – because the act – because the performers and the artists that died in the 27 Club were very – what's the word
I'm prominent, looking for? I guess
they were, they were bigger than life characters and bigger than life performers. And I think that's really where that comes from. So, yeah. But to be honest, celebrity wise, 56 is the age. So, guys, anybody in the celebrity range of 56, that's the number you got to look out for.
Who? Any particular ones that died at 56?
I don't know. Look, I just.
Okay, like, I'm just curious.
Just did the.
Talk to you about, since you were going on your deep dive.
No. I just wanted to check that out. So what do you have for news?
Well, like you said before, not really that much dropped from this Comic-Con, more of just like you're saying news. I got one that Ray Fisher says that the Josh Whedon dispute is far from over, which to me, if you said your piece, you're done. I don't know why he's going to keep this thing alive. I guess he really had an issue with Josh. That's pretty bad. And other people have come to defend. I've come to, Ray Fisher's claim said that, he was a real dick on Justice League. And then you have the other side, like guys like Alan Tudyk said, just not Josh. It's just a whole gossipy thing. And to me, Ray said it at first. That's cool. I just think he should just let it go.
I don't know what the big irk is about it. I mean, unless he unless we defamed him and made racial slurs. Yeah, definitely. We've got to have a talk about that. But if it's just being a douche, we can bring up. I can find it on YouTube for you guys. I can find the clip from of Christian Bale, losing his shit on out there. So,
Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of those things. Let it go unless there's something more about it than that he's not letting out, or if he's just writing the tale of this whole Justice League thing to how poor it was. And he's just trying to get more press about it. It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. I'm just kind of over the whole thing with that. I'm like, okay, you said it at first. He was kind of, the dick. He did you wrong. And like you just said, unless it was like kind of racially, slurs in there, I mean, there's no need to go on. But I don't know. What else do you have that you found?
Nothing really. I mean, again, everything we talked about on Friday, nothing new came out. Just a few things. Again, Star Trek Prodigy is dropping. We did talk about that it's, it's an animated show dedicated to younger kids. Going to be on Nickelodeon, and I think that's going to be kind of cool. They're looking at the series is developed by Emmy Award winning Kevin and Dan Hagman, who did Trollhunters and Ninjago, if anybody remembers those. So I think it's great. It'll be next year. They're looking at get it coming out. You were correct on the Lower Decks. That was animated. So, I mean, this is their second animated. So they have two live shows going and two animated shows.
Is Lower Deck on right now? Or?
I think it is on right now, but I don't think it's like actually a show. I think it's more of a YouTube thing. Like you.
Okay.
I don't have CBS, so I can't tell you. I'm not going to pay money for CBS for what little there is. Sorry, guys. But yeah, they were talking. The series will be formed by CBS I Animation Productions, the new animation arm. They're going to have Roddenberry is going to be part of it. Alex Kurtzman, Alex has been around since Next Generation. So he's been a big part of the Star Trek lore. So we're definitely going to see that, and that's just a continuation of that, which I think is what they need. Star Trek needs just a new generation. No pun intended. They do need to focus on the next generation.
Yeah, they should. I mean, that's always been the thing about Star Wars. Like, we've had Star Wars TV shows on forever. I mean, they had the OG one, the Next Generation. Was it after that was Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, and they stopped after Enterprise. And then I think 2 years ago, they did the one you love, Discovery. right? That was like the first one that came out, and then they're going to do a spinoff of that. So, yeah, they got a. I mean, they're still going that J.J. Abrams style as far as the live action goes, which is, you know, some people either love it or hate it. I mean, I'm kind of indifferent to it. I mean, if it's a good story, it's a good show, I'll watch it. But yeah, they got to move on. They got to move forward. And what better time than having the animated series that comes out and, you know, educating some new fans along the way. So.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't in love with Discovery. I was. I didn't hate it as much as everybody else, like the hardcore Trekkies I know. If you want to call, if you want to say I was in love with anything, Enterprise was probably the one I was most in love with. Discovery, I was okay with. I liked where they were going. I understood that we can't repeat. We can't live in the past. We have to move on. We can't get the same Star Trek and the same stories over and over again. Have the same tropes. So I understood why they needed to make a big change. And, yeah, they were coming off of the J.J. Kick that there was going to be a little bit more action, a little bit more lens flare. And so, I was a little bit more forgiving with Discovery, but I won't say I loved it. So because I don't want those hate mails.
You're still going to get them anyway.
That's fine. But not about loving. I'll say I'm accepting. I'm very acceptant of it, but I'm not going to say I'm in love with something like that.
I wanted to ask you this question about Discovery. I started like peeking a couple, I think season two, I started watching a little bit a couple nights ago, just, you know, go to sleep. And they introduced Spock, I think, in that season. They're getting pretty close to the OG series, you know, the original one.
Well, if you watch season two, it's Pike's in there.
Yeah, Pike, but I'm saying, do you think they eventually.
No.
You know, Pike is going to be the gateway to like, hey, you know, here's Captain Kirk, here's Bones.
No, I don't think we'll ever get to that. No, I don't
think they touch those characters.
No, they've already been done. But it's all about moving on forward. Again, it's one of those things I think that a lot of old Trekkie fans have issues with is about moving on. Is they want to revisit those little toys and they want to revisit those things. But we have to move further or move on past that, you know, and that's where a lot of the dislike for Trek and Wars comes from. Is we're not living in the past anymore. We got to move forward, and they miss that. And I understand. I'm part of that generation. I miss my old Star Wars. I miss my old Star Trek. But I'm also under the understanding of I can't get it back again. This is part of life. Things move forward and things will change. And it's not just for the old fans, it's for the new fans. We have to change things to capture for the new fans. And that's just I think like I said, I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's the old man on the your front porch. You know, you're looking at your toy and you're something that you love for so long. And they're using it in a different way than what you got it for. And go, don't touch that. That's mine. No, dude, it's everybody's. And it has to constantly change and evolve. Sorry, get off my high horse now. Sorry.
No, it's quite all right, because the next story actually adds to that. Man of Steel director writer David Gore discusses his alternate ending and why Zod died in Man of Steel. That's been one of the biggest things probably for years people have talked about. One of the most divisive films that came out in 2013, Man of Steel. I saw it. I loved it. Some people hated it. Some people hated the ending. Some people would say that's not my Superman. Basically, Goyer discusses that him and Christopher Nolan. See, I didn't know this. I thought Nolan was a producer, only a name only. Apparently, had a little bit of input into the movie.
You got to realize, if you're an executive producer, you're doing more than just a name only. That's not a name only thing.
Definitely wrong on that. Yeah. So he basically discussed with Goyer that a character like Superman is a character, you know, you don't want to do the same thing over and over again, like those tropes. Either you take a big swing or you go home. That's what he basically said. And that's why the ending of Zod is basically a big swing and going in a different direction. And I think, as we've discussed ad nauseum, that ending is that really Superman really didn't have any other choice.
Yeah, you have somebody as powerful as you. You can either knock him out and throw him in a Phantom Zone, which is another thing we've seen already, or you can do something better and do something change, not better, but change it up. And I mean, when you're faced with the same strength and the same power that you have, sometimes you only have one option.
Yeah. And there was no jail that was going to hold him.
Again, I mean, like I said,
kryptonite wasn't even discovered yet.
No Phantom Zone. I mean, I know the Phantom Zone was around, but there was no technology to do it then. So yeah, you only have one option.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that was the only option, and people still cry about it, which really kind of irks me. I'm like, why? I mean, if you look at the movie logically, if you look at it as a First Contact movie, I mean, the ending kind of makes sense. I mean, what would you do? How would you change it? Like, what do you do at the end? Like, oh, yeah, Zod, go ahead, kill these people. Like, then he's not Superman. And then people will complain about that. Oh, he let these people die. I mean, they still complain about people dying in that movie. Like, you know, basically a worldwide catastrophe in that city. But, you know, I just find it interesting that, you know, that actually Nolan had a little bit of input into it. So that's kind of fascinating.
Well, I knew he was still part of that because there was still they were wanting a connection to his movies in a way. They wanted still that still feeling within and being internally into that world. And that's kind of what they captured. And then they wanted to bounce off and go further, which, you know, they could have done, but they had a trip and a fall. So speaking of changing and doing something, you know, outside the box, John Boyega, or from our Star Trek friend, who was really Star Wars. Sorry.
Ooh, hey, careful there. You're crossing streams.
You said it earlier. Hey, when you were talking about Star Trek earlier, you were saying Star Wars. So
don't, was it?
Yeah, okay, you were. I was trying to correct you, but you just kept chugging along talking. I was like, all right, let you go.
All right.
So yeah, he is actually saying, and I'm a huge fan of the Avatar series, the Last Airbender. He's actually talking about that he'd like to take it and redo it. But take it, since the Avatar was basically based in a world heavily influenced by Asian culture. He was talking about taking the concept of the Avatar and putting that into more of a African culture because of the different cultures that are within Africa, taking that and interweaving it with their local lore. And I thought that was actually a pretty cool idea because, again, I'm a huge, huge Avatar Airbender fan, and I thought, you know, what they did and how they captured the essence of Asia. They taught children the concept of your chakra and of meditating, and I thought that would be great. You know, he posted here, it's showing here, I think it was on Twitter, like, oh, when you're ready to have the benders in Africa explored, let me know, is something that, you know, he had said, because they were talking about the Avatar being a on Netflix right now. They're also having Korra coming out, and they're talking about an official sequel series, has a new live action series being worked on at Netflix. So hopefully, you know, if they do that, I wouldn't be upset with that.
Nick, I think a common theme that we're seeing in today's episode is, like, you know, bringing something old into the, like, newer audiences, and that's not a bad idea. I mean, I would be fascinated. I mean, because the limited knowledge that I have of Avatar is, like, they have these different tribes that have these different powers. And what if, like, there's Avatars around the world? What if you went to Africa and there's, like, a different power tribe in Africa?
The then,
like,
concept,
they're in charge of winter or something. I mean, it'd be fascinating.
Well, the concept of Avatar is, it's not it is a world. There's not different parts of the world. It is a world, and each nation has its own powers. There's the Water Nation, and the Water Nation controls controls more ice. Because the Water Nations are at the North and South Pole of the country, of the world. And there's a couple of Water Nations, like, in the swamps, which they have, like, straight up bayou redneck waterbenders, which I loved. Then you have your Fire Nation, and they're more metal and industrial style. Then you have the Airbenders, who are the more Buddhist in nature. And then you have the Earthbenders, who are very hard and rugged people. And you just have these four intermingling. And of course, the Avatar is the one person, a generation that comes around, and he has the ability to master all of these abilities. And basically he's the peacekeeper of it. And I could see them taking that concept and doing that from an African standpoint, because of all the different cultures that are in Africa. And I'm not talking now, I'm talking in the past, that because you did have your different cultures and your different nations, and having them being intermingled. And I would definitely go with that. I think that would be a cool take. And I am interested to see what Netflix does with this new series. They need to make sure that they correct themselves after the epic fail that was the movie.
Ooh, yeah. Well, to be honest, before, when I was talking to you last night about it, that was, like, my only exposure to Avatar. Then you were like, no, You told me about the series, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to start watching it on Netflix, because that movie kind of ruined things for me. I was like,
ruined things for me a little bit too, but it didn't ruin me enough to not go back and watch the real Avatar. Actually, it forced me to. I was like, okay, I saw that crap. I need the taste out of my mouth. I need the real thing, and was able to see that. So, what do you have next?
What do I got here? Oh, hold on, my screen turned to black real quick. Sorry, guys, give me 1 second. Come on, turn on. Did you see this Lovecraft trailer? Lovecraft Country trailer. The family is the family business. As a Lovecraft family finally shows off some of its monsters and ancient gods in the latest preview. I'm a big Lovecraft fan, you know, coming from all that cult lore and stuff. I think it's interesting. And this trailer is basically, kind of right up my alley. It's kind of like the Hellstorm trailer. Well, I didn't like it at first, and I liked it after watching it again. This is another one. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, but it's kind of like that vibe, but a little bit, you know, with monsters. So
no, I haven't seen it. I'll have to check it out because
I'm the same way as you. Lovecraft Country. Yeah, it's I literally just caught it like an hour ago, and I'm like, this is interesting. I mean, so yeah, that's no release date yet, just a trailer. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a streaming service or a movie, but. It looks really good. Like, the special effects looks kind of on point. A lot of the monsters and creatures and stuff, but
a lot of them are. I mean, like, special effects nowadays. I mean, you go for TV and movies, and they all look are right on point with each other. I've seen a couple of bad ones, but for the most part, it's been pretty decent. Speaking of either going to streaming or going to movies, Bill and Ted 3. Has announced that for the Face the Music movie, it's going to hit VOD and selected cinemas simultaneously during the pandemic. So they are going to get out there. There are still some areas that aren't hit as bad as, I mean, we're in the epicenter. So yeah, everything's closed down here. But I know there are some areas around the country that their theaters are open. Just nothing's really coming out. But they have said that they're going to go ahead and release the Bill and Ted Face the Music out into the theaters and for streaming. So I think that's a great idea. I think that's what they should do for a lot of the movies. At least they'll be able to get some of their money back, get the money from the places that do have theaters that are open. And then for us that are stuck here at home, you know, get some money from us as well.
It's a smart move. I think I talked to you about that about a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know, if they're not going to release these movies in the theaters, you know, do like you just said, do a limited run in the theaters, and then you have like a renting option, like a Redbox online. Like, hey, the first week this movie comes out, it's going to be like $12. You know, okay, and then you can rent it again and again if you want to keep seeing it. I mean, and then eventually it'll go to streaming, like maybe a month or 2 months later. I mean, you got to find a way to make some money. In my opinion, you know, something is better than nothing.
Yeah, that's
how you're not making any money right now by putting all these delays back. I mean, you keep thinking like, oh, everybody's going to come back, you know, once COVID is lightened up. I mean, and like we discussed, you're not going to see $100 million opening in a movie theater for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time.
It's going to be a while. Like, if you see a 20, 30, 40 even, you ain't going to see those big numbers like you've been seeing the last couple of years. That's gone. We're in a different world now. You'd be lucky if you make 40 million, 50 million. And I think that's going to help Hollywood too, because they're going to be able to adjust the budgets for their movies, not making them so ridiculously high because they don't need to be that high. And, you know, get down to the creative level. Be like, you know what? Hey, you know, I have this. It's kind of like Blumhouse. They do it all the time. I think I talked to you about it last night. You get a small budget, you get more focused, more creative, and you just start, the ideas just going to come in your head. And you're like, hey, I don't have this big budget thing. So I really got to cram down and really think how I'm going to do this film. And I think it's a positive. I mean, Hollywood probably doesn't look at it that way. Oh, we're going to lose all this money.
Yeah, true. But look at what they're doing. They just spent all this money on Tenet. They're not making any money. They're not making any money on Black Widow. It's just sitting there. They've spent the money. It's just sitting there collecting dust. At least start. Yeah, you're not going to do, you know, quadruple or you know, triple, whatever you want to call it, more than what your budget. But at least you can double it. Triple it. We're not going to see those big numbers like you were saying, but at least get your money back and make a profit. It may not be the big profit you want, but you still got a profit, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else is hurting. And so, you know, Hollywood's going to feel the grip as well. And if anything, like we discussed this on Friday, you know, go back to what they were in the 70s, you know, late 60s, early 70s, a lot of the big budget movies died off. We got more laid back. You know, you look at like the Gene Hackman movie, the China Syndrome. I mean, that's like a real low key movie. And, you know, we in the 50s and the 40s and the 50s, you had these massive blockbusters in productions. Sometimes you can go back and go low key again, and I think that's the best thing for them. But as far as just getting some money back, and again, this is Bill and Ted's. I don't think they were thinking about breaking the bank with this. If anybody's seen the trailer, it's in a way, it's sort of a retelling of their story as their daughters are sorted. There seems like their daughters are going through their original story, and Bill and Ted are learning their own. You know, trying to the real story is with. Is with Alex and Keanu, but the daughters and their team, like, they're just replaying the first Bill and Ted movie, which is fine.
Yeah, nostalgia's king, man. Nostalgia's a hell of a drug, as you know, Charlie Murphy would say, or he would say something else. But yeah, it is kind of weird that trailer, how their journeys are they parallel. That's the one thing I noticed. It's like you see that first scene where they're like, hey, you know, you guys got to grow up. I guess they're wedding singers, which it looks like, which is kind of funny. And then their daughters are kind of like on that same path as they are. They're like, you know, we don't know what the hell we're doing. So, you know, they find their own little time machine and they're going on their own little adventure. And I guess probably at the end of the movie, like, hey, you know, this is going to be get closer to our family or something like that. It's always going to have like a family kind of moral question, which is fine. And I dig it. And I like the trailer. And I think what they're doing is great. And I bet you, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I bet you that movie wasn't made for a lot of money either.
Probably wasn't, no.
I can guarantee you. So. I'll check it out.
All right, so what do you have next?
I got one last thing. Like I said, there wasn't too many things. We covered a ton of it on Friday. But have you seen these new action figures they're releasing? I'm not thinking talk about the McFarlane ones. Hot Toys released this Josh Brolin one of Cable. And they released this, funny, Eric Draven of The Crow, which we actually did in Midnight Movies a couple weeks ago. Check that one out. And they come from Diamond Select. No release date on them. They said probably the fall, but if you look at the accuracy, the head molds on these figures are just, they're not the figures we grew up with, the little 5-inch, 4-inch figures. These figures are just detailed. And I'm not a big Hot Toys guy because, you know, Hot Toys is a little bit expensive, but these ones and the Diamond Select ones are not bad. Not bad. If you guys are big action figure junkies like I am, check these out, especially the Brolin one. The Brolin one looks like just like Josh Brolin. The Eric Draven one looks just like Brandon Lee. It's frightening. And they come with these different accessories. I mean, the Crow one comes with his gravestone, and it comes with a couple different hands. It looks really cool. I'm not sure if you saw it yet, but
No, I haven't seen it yet.
They're like really cool. I know you're not a big figure guy, but I thought it was like, damn.
No, I definitely have to check him out. I mean, especially like most people, you know of McFarlane now, but if you think like his early runs, that, you know, he was still like he wasn't a household name as much as he is now. Like his early runs, he did have a Crow run, he did have like Kiss, and I mean those were just
I cannot find those Kiss figures anywhere.
Acme gets me every once in a blue moon.
I haven't seen them.
No, they'll be
in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, once in a blue moon. So just ask Josh and say next time call me and I'll come be.
Yeah, because I want to buy all four of them, and then I want to get like one couple for Ben because I think he would dig those.
But yeah, no, those are like I said, the once they're in, then they're gone. Like, so you just got to be up on them. They don't last long on the shelf.
I can tell. So. Anything else?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, I've got another rumor kicking around, and it looks like, what do you feel about Donald Glover returning as Lando?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
There is rumors running around. This came from Kessel Run Transmissions that Glover has either signed on or is close to signing on to return as the younger incarnation of Lando for a future Disney Plus show. Not a movie show, which is perfectly fine. I think you and I talked about that when Solo had its issues in the theater and everything, that, you know what, if they're going to do a rerun, they could go ahead and do it on Disney Plus. Disney Plus has, so far the production has been really good. And if you see what Netflix is doing with their movies, and Disney's got, you know, Disney money, so they could make those TV series amazing and have movies on there. And I hope that's what they're planning, because I would love to see more of Lando and seeing what he does and what, you know, his journey into maybe getting Bespin and how he ended up getting to Cloud City, or just more about just his life as a smuggler and we owe him getting into you know situations where he's got to talk his way out and be smooth, you know, whip out a Colt 45.
if he whips out a Colt 45, I'm gonna lose it. I think one of the things we talked about Solo, which I still think is a very tragically underrated movie. I think everything about that movie is, I think it's a really good movie, really good, not great, good. It's a good movie. Only issue I had with is Alden Ehrenreich. I think that Han Solo is not a background character. He should be more up front, but that's discussion for later on. One of the positives in that movie was Donald Glover. I thought his portrayal of Lando was not only spot on, I thought it was like, okay, it's a young Billy Dee. And you can literally pop him in any Star Wars series. Like, hell, he could pop up in Obi-Wan. Like, just like cut this, like a little flyby, just go in that cantina. I mean, you can put him anywhere, really. And the whole story about that clan of smugglers that I think they confront, I forgot their name, and like the weird headdress or something. I mean, you could do something with that. I mean, dude, why not? I heard about this from here. Sign me up. Do it.
Yep. I mean, they could do that. They can finally finish up the storyline of Kara, of Darth Maul, you know, because there's been rumors again kicking around that Maul might be returning. And I don't think of a better way of doing that than to have maybe him have Lando involved with Kira in that. Yeah. And I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on that as well. The name of that
Crimson Dawn. Crimson Dawn. Okay. Right. Was that the name of them?
I believe, dude, there was a couple of them. There's Contra Club and then Crimson Dawn.
Contra Club.
but I think that would be great because I have heard, you know, through the grapevine that there was talks of, you know, Ray Park trying to come back to complete some stuff as Maul. And I think that would be awesome. So this would make sense. There's also rumors running around that a possible Solo could doing a continuation of Solo on there. So, you know, it's all.
Yeah, give him another chance.
Again, to me, it's we're seeing Solo as a young kid. I know me at 20. I'm not the same guy I was at 35 or 40. So, yeah, he's not going to be that guy. You know, I don't know why people have in their heads that these characters must be the same character through all of their years. They're obviously not going to be. People change. People grow. People revert. I mean, so I just that was the biggest argument was that's not Han. That's not, it's like, no, it's not. That's Han learning about this world and becoming that person that we're eventually going to see. This is Han as a seed. We saw Han as, you know, the giant redwood. You got to let him get there. So, and I think hopefully if they continue this, we'll see those scenes in these shows and show these growth of these characters and what they become. Just like we're probably going to see with Obi-Wan. You know, we left Obi-Wan at a certain place, broken down, defeated. At the end of Revenge of the Sith, I think in the Obi-Wan series, we're going to see him grow, change, and become that wiser and that more, you know, teaching character for New Hope. So we're going to see that gap filled in, which I think is great that we have these opportunities.
I agree. And sooner the better. Get these guys on there. I got a rumor here, too. It's from Nerdist. So I'm not sure if it's too accurate, but once again, it's a rumor. They're talking about recently Owen Wilson. He got cast recently in the Loki series, and he's supposedly playing some kind of time cop. Well, apparently, according to this, the rumor is that he's playing not a time cop, but he's playing some sort of a time traveler. He's going to play, like I said, it's a rumor, he's playing Kang. Now, this is all speculation. And you never judge a book by its cover. And this is a whole argument like the Heath Ledger thing. Oh, he's not going to do a great job. So I'm not going to yell about this one either. All I'm going to say is I have to wait and see if this is true. Because you don't know what kind of version of Kang we're going to get. I mean, Kang has never been done live action. Yeah. So.
And again, if they're going to try something, it may not just be him. It may be him voicing. You know, yeah. There's always that. That's one thing that everybody thinks. Oh, this actor that we know is just a physical actor is being hired to do something. He could be a voice actor in a lot of things. You know, that's one of the things we were talking about with Bale. You know, what direction they go with him. He could be used as a voice actor. And I understand that your defense is always, oh, dude, they're going to cut. Why would you cover him up? I'll go bring it back to why would you cover up Hugo Weaving for a lot of his movies? You know, he is a great actor, but the voice, if they're good actors, they can emote with their voice as well, and we can go that direction.
We're going to see.
My last one I have here is Marvel Studios has reportedly plans for, and I think this is kind of silly because they've sort of like killed off some of the cool storylines they could have, but their plans for bringing in the Illuminati. And if anybody is familiar with Marvel and the Illuminati, they were a conglomeration of a bunch of the leaders of the different groups. Iron Man representing for Avengers, Mr. Fantastic being from Fantastic Four, obviously. Namor being represented for Atlantis, Black Bolt for the Inhumans. Professor X, obviously the X-Men and all mutants. And then Doctor Strange, you know, representing the Earth's mystics. And they had a lot of interesting stories. They were involved in some stories we've already seen. You know, the
Infinity War. They were involved in Infinity War.
They were involved in World War Hulk because they're the ones that knocked Hulk out and threw him in the ship and told him, "Oh, you're going away now." So a lot of some of the things they've already done, or the movies that have already been done, have really already been with them. You know, they should have already been there. So I think this is a little strange, but they are looking at possibly doing during the Kree Skrull, a new Avengers, the Illuminati miniseries. So just something that was being kicked around. I'm not sure what your thought is. I know you're not a huge Marvel fan and familiar with a lot of what they do.
I know of the Illuminati, though.
Yeah.
And I mean, it depends how they're going to use them. Because like you said, a lot of the storylines they've already used, so I mean, it'd be interesting to see where they go for. I mean, they could use them for the Kree Skrull War, I guess, something involving that. Depends where you put them. I mean, with the new Avengers, sure. So it depends how it's written, how it's done, what ideas that they have in the back of their head. I mean, do the Illuminati bring Galactus to Earth? I mean, I don't know.
And again,
there's a lot of things they can do.
You have a lot of people to introduce still. You still have Black Bolt to introduce. You still have Professor X, Namor, and Mr. Fantastic. Right now, they've only introduced two of them, and one of them's already dead. So, really, the Illuminati is Doctor Strange right now. I mean,
basically,
when you think about what they have right there, our savior, our sorry, I won't say it that way. I'll say our Bane was Bendis. He's the one that did create them for the Marvel world. So most likely, you know, they're not going to follow suit with his storyline. But again, they could just simply go in the direction of doing something on Disney Plus and not in the film genre. So we'll just wait and see. But again, they've lost Iron Man already. They only have Doctor Strange, and they've got a lot of people to introduce between here and there.
Yeah, so, well, that's why they got streaming. That's why they'll be able to introduce a ton of more characters. But like I said, we haven't seen anything yet. So, like, all these series are getting delayed. I don't know why the streaming series are being delayed. That's odd, but
whatever. You still have to get out and you still have to film. And the only places that they're filming right now
are done. Like, I thought WandaVision was done.
No. It started off with Bucky.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that was the first one to start filming, and then WandaVision was in the middle of doing it when this all started, so they're not done. Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, you know, if they still got and that one's even the Winter Soldier still gotten delayed. The only place that they're filming again is the last thing we've heard, actually, and I think it was on one of my lists, my secondary list, like they just announced, you know, with Uncharted, Tom Holland indicated that through Twitter like a week or so ago that they were actually filming, and no, they didn't start filming until just last week, and that's in Germany.
So, well, they are filming, though.
Again, but it's just in
Germany.
That's
something.
It's just in Germany.
Yeah,
it's one country right now. I know England's doing it. England's got a limited group of people that are allowed to come in. They still have to go through quarantine, and then they can go and do that. But it's very limited as to what things are, you know, you're able to do. So we'll just have to wait and see. And
production on the CW shows goes into effect next month. So
we'll see.
In Vancouver.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that one.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, here in the States, we ain't going to get nothing for a while. Unless things really go down. But, you know, Canada, those places, Germany, I think they're doing the Batman, too. That's in London. So I think they're going to switch a lot of it to sound stages. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So,
but again, we still got a lot go here. So we're slowly going to get back up, but it's going to take a while. We won't see like a 2022 is probably when I think we'll be back to like full blown normal on like releases and everything.
Yeah, well, let's hope, as you say.
Well, that is everything that I have. How about you?
That's all I got.
All right, folks. Well, that is the end of our short Heroes of Scion for this week. If you guys do want to watch the one we did on Friday, you can go ahead and check out our list on Facebook, and you can see the our live video there. And so about what we discussed about the San Diego Comic-Con. And if you guys are interested, check out our Facebook page and our website, actually, heroesasylum.com, and you can get links to all of our other pages that Kane's going to tell you about.
Twitter, at the Heroes Asylum Podcast. Check us out there. I'm doing some tweets lately. Lots of good stuff. Instagram as well. Facebook page at the Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum Podcast Facebook page. Like and share. We love all your comments. We love all your stories. We love everything you post. And as always, from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum. See you next time.